Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting broadcast of Deep Cough in the Deep. I am your host, Jeremy Lopez, and I want to just give a shout out to so many people right now listening to our broadcast. We have so many listeners, thousands of them across the globe that just love and they're entertained, but they're more importantly, they're growing through this broadcast, and I so thank God for it. And so today I want to share something with you guys that really would be empowering to all of us, because all of us hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, correct? And so I'm going to bring a sort of a side curve into the broadcast today, talking about basically understanding the language of God. Understanding the language of God. One of the main things I teach within my School of the Prophetic Word course, the School of the Prophets course, and pretty much all the courses I have out, is learning to understand God's language. Now, can we truly fathom and understand the mysteries of God completely and understand every word that He says? No. I'd love to say we could, but we really can't. And there's not really a step one, step two, step three to understand the fullness of who God is in His totality. But one thing we can do is we can learn to understand, since the Bible does say, you know, His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But what we can do is we can understand the fact of to see it from a different angle and get a better perspective of actually how to enlighten ourselves and awaken us to that reality. And what I mean by that is this: when God speaks to us, let's say, for example, many of you who have received thousands of prophetic words from me, because I have delivered thousands upon thousands throughout the years of prophetic words. I mean, there's not a day that goes by that I don't have a minimum of about 12 prophetic words a day that I do. And so that's what I'll do after this broadcast. I did it before the broadcast. And so when I get into my office and my radio studio to be able to get this message out to you, but that's what I'm known for, you know, throughout the body of Christ. And so one of the things I teach people, because I'm pretty much an advocate for listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd, is helping people to understand the terminology of God. And there's one thing I would say to people, if you can always remember, is understand God's terminology is not our terminology. So let me explain to you what I mean by that. That means that when you begin to receive a prophetic word from the Lord, okay, let's say through a prophet, through me, or through, you know, someone, let's say at church or a conference, when you listen to a prophetic word, you can't always listen to it from the idea of the nouns, okay? And one thing I'm really a big believer in walking all of my people through the School of the Prophetic Word, because School of the Prophetic Word is our top number one course of all time, out of all the courses we have, because I teach people how to understand the prophetic language of God a little bit better, and understanding what prophetic words actually do. Before a word, after the word, in the word, what is your responsibility? What is God's responsibility? How does all this come into play? You know, how does it metamorphosize? Is there a process? Is there a time frame? How does all this happen? And so I teach all of this. I even teach the vibration of a prophetic word. Since science says that everything vibrates in the universe, and even though some people look at that and say, ooh, vibration, law of vibration, that's very new age. And I say, no, let's back up. Because the scripture even says, anything and everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And so God lets you know way in advance, folks, that guess what? Everything is shaking. Everything in the universe is actually vibrating at a certain speed. And so when God said anything and everything that can be shaken, well, God knows everything is shaking. And so that's why He backed it up, to let us know everything is vibrating. And so when we listen to that type of way of thinking, we first of all allude to the fact that if something is vibrational, and God's word, according to Psalms, the book of Psalms, where He says that His word goes forth, and talking about the word of the Lord is likened unto this, and the word of the Lord is likened unto that, like it talks about the word of the Lord breaks to pieces the cedars of Lebanon, it strips the forest bare, and so it goes on and on and on of everything the word of God does. And so knowing that, guess what it does? It vibrates, it shifts. It shakes, it tears down, it pulls up, it roots up. And God even told Jeremiah the same thing in Jeremiah chapter 1. He said, look, son, He said, I'm calling you to be a prophet of the nations. And if you're going to be a prophet to the nations, here's what you're going to do. You will find yourself tearing up, rooting up, ripping up, and then turn right around, because God's a God who takes and gives. And then when you turn right around, what does God do? He turns right around, He says, now I want you to plant. Now I want you to begin to not just plant, but build. And build that foundation, and build the walls upon that foundation until everything is built better, stronger, and faster. Almost like the $6 million man. God rebuilds it back, stronger and better than it ever has been before. It's like Job. What did God tell Job? He said, you sure I'm going to take everything from you? But don't be alarmed. Even if you're accused preachers are going to say, hey, you know, Job, curse God and die. Come on. What kind of God would take from you? This is ridiculous. But Job knew that God knows the ending from the beginning. He knew that there's something better. The outcome is always better. The ending of something is always better than the beginning. And what did God say in His Word? He says, the latter shall be greater than the former. So we know that where we are headed, God, folks, we know it's going to be better. We know that at the end of our lives, or halfway through our lives, or the ending of a situation, or the ending of whatever it is that we see that we're involved in the middle of, that the ending of it's going to be phenomenal. Now, we have to understand how God's language works when we see it that way. So when God speaks to us, He doesn't always speak to us on the way of how we define things as human beings. And this is where people tend to get caught up. You know, they get stuck, so to say. Because they begin to hear God's word and they say, okay, you know what, I get it. You know, God, you just prophesied to me a new car, a new home. Isn't that interesting how we always tend to move our mind towards materialistic things when it deals with the prophetic word? You know, if I was to prophesy to people all day long, which praise God I don't, you know, dealing with this area, but if I was a false prophet, or if I was someone who just was a smooth talker, you know, and just didn't really care what God said, but wanted to make everybody at ease, not that we would ever do that, because it's wrong before the Lord. But let's just go there for a moment. Think about this, folks. How many people do you think, thousands upon thousands of people, that I could actually prophesy to and say, God's going to bring you a new home. God's going to give you a new car. God's going to make, you know, give you more money. And even though God is so into the promoting business, because God loves it. I mean, I think God is tickled pink. You know, when we begin to find His favor, move in His promotion, you know, find this better paying job, and, you know, see our family grow, you know, get a car that we can rely on that's not falling apart all the time. And all these things are very, very powerful. And when we understand these concepts, we understand that, you know, hey, that sounds wonderful. And everybody would begin to say, oh, that was the word of the Lord for me. Why? Because you heard something you're going to get materialistic wise, you know? But so we don't do that. And so why? Because God still loves to bless us financially. He still loves to bless us, you know, with materialistic things. There's not an issue with that or problem. But there's higher things that God is more involved in the protocol of the kingdom when it deals with our lives, which deals with character, integrity, being honest, being truthful, you know, looking up always, not focused on the negative, focused on the positive of the kingdom, you know, moving in grace, compassion, humility, love, you know, walking. When someone asks for, you know, the shirt off your back, give it to them and give them more. You know what I mean? They ask you to walk this much. Hey, walk a mile, walk 2 miles with them. So God is more concerned with the character and the quality of man more than He is your new car. Doesn't mean to say God's not going to do that. So when we're looking at prophetic words, we always tend to go towards the materialistic things, the nouns, as I call them. You know, noun is a person, place, or thing. Man, if I could say one thing about prophetic words, is people love to hear the nouns. You know, where am I going to go? Where am I going to travel to? That's your place. You know, what thing are you going to give me to? Give me, Lord, a new car? That's your thing. And then people. God's going to give me a spouse. God's going to give me a best friend. And those three things in the noun arena, very important to us, because we are humans. We are human beings, folks. But there's a higher concept of understanding that we are spirits having a human experience, and knowing that our first rule of thumb, or basically our first allegiance, is that of spirit. And so if we're spirit having a human experience, we've got to look at the deeper parts of God. The Bible says that deep calleth unto deep. And so the fountains of God wants to flow to our fountains. Are you with me? He wants to hit the very core, the very fiber of our being with something that is greater. Because if something that is greater in us is expanded, and that quality of life in us comes out to shine forth to look like the image of Christ, then you know what? After that, He has no problem with what we have in the natural. God has no issue if you have a new car, new home, bigger ministry, more money. He has no problem with that. As long as these things don't have us, He's fine with it. You know, I always tell people in all my courses and books, I always say, God has no issue with your car as long as your car doesn't have you. The moment your car has you, there's an idol in the way. And God is a jealous God. God doesn't like that. He wants it gone, because He wants to be the one that takes first allegiance and first priority in your life. And other than that, when He's first, He could care less if you make $5 million. He could care less if you have $64 billion. And by the way, folks, you know, if you look at the MSN the other day, how it talked about the 50 most richest people in the world, I mean, the richest man in the world has 69 billion. He is worth $69 billion, folks. Can you imagine? $69 billion. And you know what? God has no issue with you being the richest man or woman on earth. Not at all. As long as he is first over everything, and over money and power and fame, as long as he's first, he has no issue with it whatsoever. And therefore, that's when we begin to look at the protocol of what needs to come first. And so when we're looking at prophetic words, we have to realize people tend to look at the nouns, correct? But let's look at the aspect of understanding that God doesn't move by your definitions. You know, he doesn't move by what your circumstances. Now, when we say that, it doesn't mean God doesn't care about our circumstances. Sure, he does. But see, if God sees the ending from the beginning, then let's say, for example, we're in the middle of a messy divorce. Let's just say you're in the middle of a messy divorce and you're looking at your life and you're thinking, you know, God, where are you? Don't you care? I'm in the middle of this thing. And let's say, for example, your husband, even though you're hurting and you're down and you're upset about it, and let's say your husband's been cheating on you, and you look at the reality of your life and you're thinking, man, he cheated on me. I'm doing what's biblically right, that I have the grounds to get a divorce from this man, and, you know, and he's still cheating on me with her or whatever, or, you know, whatever the situation is in your life. God sees where you are in your now moment. Absolutely. God is a now God. I always preach that from my book, even. God's a now God. And we get that. But also, while God is being your now God, God is also in your future preparing a table before you in the presence of your enemies, the Bible talks about. So he's preparing something ahead of the game, so to say, ahead of your situation and circumstance. So even though God is in your now moment, God is also more or less in your future, because he knows the outcome is going to be where you really would desire to be, but you don't desire it yet because you don't see it. And so a lot of times God knows what we desire before we even desire it. So a lot of times when people, you know, they'll write in, they'll say, well, God had a prophetic word, but it didn't target my circumstance right now. It just wouldn't hit me right now of what I'm going through. How many of you honestly can say that? You know, I know, because you know what? I've had prophetic words before in my life. I'm the one giving them half the time to people. But a lot of times we look at that and we think to ourselves, you know, but it did speak to what I'm going through right now. And you know what God says the whole time? God is not only our healer, our provider, our comforter. He's our best friend in time of trouble. He's our ever-present help in time of trouble and need. God is right there in the now moment. But what God really sees is he says, right now you don't have a desire in you. You're not feeling the desire. You're not really seeing that desire in you at the moment. And so since you're not seeing that desire in you right now, that desire is going to come out of you when you get past what you're going through. And then when you get past what you're going through, then that desire will spring up in you and you'll be like, you know what, man, I'm really desiring this thing right now. And you desire something outside of your circumstance. And so when God speaks to us through his prophetic word, he knows that the desire is not there yet, it's still asleep. But it'll awaken once you get past your situation and past your circumstance. And so we've got to learn to see things from a bigger picture. You know, a lot of times we magnify, do we not? We magnify what we're going through. Man, this is the worst time of my entire life. My situation is just horrible. Where is God? Doesn't anyone care? And here's the reality of it, folks. Do people care? Sure, people care about what you're going through. Sure, they do. And they should be there for you. Sure, God cares and he's there for you. But see, you have to remember, people themselves have issues in their life. They're focusing on they're working out their salvation, fear and trembling. And so to you, you might have magnified it to be the biggest event ever of what you're dealing with and going through. A lot of us call that drama. Amen? A lot of us call that drama, but it's okay. We have grace because we've all had drama, have we not? But in the midst of our drama, we think, how come anyone hasn't stopped what they're doing to be there for me all the time? And we never stop to realize, because you know what? They might in their life see or have drama as well. They might be dealing with their own situation. And so they could say the same thing about you. How come you're not there for them? And so when we look at that and we look at people and we look at God, we can realize that we magnify things to be so much bigger, as if the world should stop for us, do we not? Hey, been there. I remember when my father died 2 years ago. It was one of the most devastating things in my life. I mean, it was the most devastating thing ever, because it was the only person of a parent or something, someone that close and dear to me who passed away. And so that is one of the biggest things in my life, of my challenge of where do I go from here? And you know, and how many of you have ever lost a loved one and you think at that moment when that person dies, whether it's your spouse or a child, you know, or a parent, you think, how come the world is not stopping for me right now? Because I just lost the very thing that I loved the most in my life. Haven't you thought that before? Even one of our staff members recently just lost his mother. And I even told him, I said, don't you feel as if everyone should stop what they're doing? Does the whole world just stop for a moment and recognize that not only are you hurting, but you just lost, you know, your mother. You just lost someone. And he said, yeah. He said, you do. It feels strange, doesn't it? You think everyone should stop and the world keeps on going, does it not? And I said, unfortunately it does. Because fortunately it does, because it teaches us to continue to fight through, to move on, that we can continue to live. And unfortunately it doesn't, because of the fact that we think people should stop with us and see the pain that we go through. But life does go on, and it's hard. And so there's this sweet, bitter moment in all of this. But when we're dealing with prophetic words, we're dealing with the fact that, you know, why doesn't, you know, God help me through this situation? So God speaks to us, and we wonder, why didn't God speak to my situation? Well, the reason why, because God is seeing something much bigger than you. He's not seeing something that might have been small to you. Now, of course, death is maybe not the very best example in the world, because death is a serious thing. But even through sickness and death, and my girlfriend dumped me, I lost my job the other day, you know, my lawnmower won't start, you know, dadgummit, everything is going crazy. You know, how many of you ever thought that? Everything's just going crazy right now, you know? And you think that, and all of a sudden God says, now hold on, you're getting a little dramatic here. You're making it bigger. What is the old saying we say? Making a mountain out of a molehill, you know what I mean? And we can do that with anything and everything. But the reality of it is, God says, the reason why a lot of times I don't target your situation, because you made it bigger than it really should have been. Because even at the point of death, as even though, you know, the Bible says that Jesus, that the smallest verse in the Bible is what Jesus wept. Jesus wept when his best friend Lazarus died. And so Jesus had compassion and feelings because one of his close friends just died, but yet he knew he'd live again. But he still had compassion because one of his close friends passed away. But even through that, Jesus shifted his mindset. Why? Because he knew he's the resurrection and the life. He knew he could resurrect him, and he did. But he also knew whether he lives or died, he shared that moment of compassion with Mary and Martha that their brother just passed away. But yet, the good thing about life and about the kingdom is he knew that there's a bigger picture than just sitting and sulking. He knew there's a bigger picture than my lawnmower and my car broke down. You know, where is God? How come God couldn't prophesy this about this, you know, to me in my prophetic word? Because God sees it so much bigger. He sees something that down the road, when you get past your drama and you get past that situation, because let's just face it, folks, you know, whether we like it or not, this too shall pass. I mean, if we could prophesy to everybody and say, hey, this too shall pass, we would. Because you know what? The reality of it is, that's one of the only prophetic words that, guess what? That will automatically happen. This too shall pass. Because life will continue to go on. And so when you look at that, you realize God sees it so much bigger. And so he sees it from a different angle. He doesn't see it the way you see it, because he realizes this too shall pass. So it's smaller than what you made it to be. And he realizes that when you get past this obstacle, you pass the pain, you get past the madness, you get past the hurt, you get past the, you know, crud, everything is, you know, breaking down on me today. That once you get past that moment, he knows there'll be a desire that'll begin to awaken and say, well, I could, you know, go buy a used one. You know, or maybe, well, my parent passed away, and I know I'll get past this, and through this, God will turn all things around for my good and His glory. Or maybe, well, I did lose a job, but maybe God had a better plan for me. Maybe I didn't need to be working so hard, and maybe He's got more money for me down the road. So all of a sudden, a desire springs forth out of the nothingness. And anytime a desire springs forth out of the nothingness, God a lot of times will allude to the fact that that's why I did not mention it in the prophetic word, because He knew why. And here's the reality we don't stop to think about. Would God, now once again, we're not judging God, but would God want to desire to take a full prophetic word to touch on just what you're dealing with at the moment, knowing that God knows it too shall pass? Or is he the God of hope and a bright future? Or does he like to target it, maybe tap on it a little bit, or maybe not even talk about it at all, and yet focus on that which is to become of you, that which is to come in your life? Because see, God would rather focus on the hope and the bright future of getting past this now moment that you're dealing with and showing you the glorious rest of your life that's going to be held in so much favor, and the way of escape is going to come, and here's a better item, and here's a better this, and here's there's a better person coming that you can remarry. Or you see what I'm saying? And so we have to remember, God's language is not our language. And even man's definitions and terminologies doesn't even come close to defining what God says. So if God doesn't look at us and say, a house means this on a slab, God doesn't look at that and say, a car is automatically a Honda, you know, God is, or a red car. God looks at these things and He doesn't measure His words according to man's definition. And let's narrow it down, folks, by an English language in the United States of America. And we think God really bows to our language, our definitions, our terminologies. And therefore, since you bow to us, God, in those terminologies, we can get it better more. No, God says, no, no, no. You come up hither. John the Revelator, you come up hither. If you want to know what I'm saying, come up hither. And so that's why sometimes when we look at it, even church, and we look at pastors, and we look at, you know, preaching and everything else, we're not allowed to really preach from our opinions. We're not allowed to preach from our culture. We're not allowed to preach from our English language, our definitions, our terminologies, and unfortunately, there are thousands of preachers who end up doing that. But we have to remember that God thinks in a totally different wavelength than us, totally. And if we're really going to understand God, we need to have an ear to hear and an eye to see, and let it be done according to us as individuals and our authenticity, our genuineness, and let Him speak to us and with that, with the original thumbprint of who He's talking to, and that personal word to let us know this is for you. And let me, and you're going to have to come up hither to know what these words really mean, each word within that word. And therefore, we can truly say, this is my personal prophetic word. This is what God says about me. And even though He doesn't target what I think He should target, and that's the problem, folks. The life is not about us. The world doesn't revolve. The kingdom of God doesn't revolve around me. And so God looks at this and He says, look, I might not talk about what you want me to talk about, but see, that's a controlism issue on your behalf, son or daughter. That's where you don't see the big picture. That's where you're trying to manipulate me to talk about what you want me to talk about. But at the end of the day, God says, I don't move that way. I move in a way that I know will help you in the long run, that will truly find you freedom, liberty, joy, hope, and peace beyond anything you're able to understand or fathom. And so that's why God says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are truly higher than your thoughts. So I want you to take this broadcast home with you today. Take it home to heart. And just remember that when we get prophetic words, we hear from the voice of the Lord, you know, in our prayer closet, we get into sermons and our pastor's preaching, and we're going, good word, pastor, good word, you know, that we have to remember, is it from an opinionated point of view? Because unfortunately, folks, you know, me, including me, all the rest of us, every one of us are opinionated. We all have our own ideologies. We all interpret and translate things differently. So let's learn to be open-minded to realize, what if God is saying something behind what He is saying? Think about that for a moment. Is God truly saying something behind what He's saying? Is God doing something beyond and behind what He normally is doing? Are you with me? And so when we understand that concept, that's how the kingdom works, because it's a upside down kingdom, the Bible says, then we understand something is being said on a deeper level. And I'm going to dive in to figure out, to ask, to seek, and then to knock. And God will reveal that to me personally on a deeper level, to see past even a personal word for me. It'll be a heartfelt, spirit to spirit, deep calling on a deep word just for you. All right. So I want to encourage everyone today, you know, if you need a prophetic word, hey, I don't mind. You know, I'm very honest and open with people. I love people. I love to prophesy to people. And I encourage people, if you can get past the religiosity inside of all of us that is programmed in us, just to drop a donation to our ministry, simply because of the fact we love people. We love to, we have missions work. And unfortunately, folks, Bibles aren't free. You know, it costs money to have Bibles printed. I used to work in a Christian bookstore because I owned one for 4 years. I owned a Christian bookstore in Birmingham years and years ago. And so through all of that, we realize that the gospel itself is free, but the distribution of it, of the making of the paper, the tapes, the CDs, all that stuff, and the time and the energy it takes to sit down and pray. And, you know, if for that reason alone, I have people say, Jeremy, don't even worry about that. We love to give to you in the ministry because we know your heart and we know that it takes time. And Jeremy, you got to eat. You have to put food on your table. And I say, you know what? I appreciate that. But you know what's really why we take donations up? It goes to our missions work. Thank you for being concerned about me eating, but it goes to our missions work. That's why I prophesy, to raise money for our missions work, because I want to see other people empowered of stuff that we Americans tend to have that other people don't have. That's my mission and my goal. And so if you can hear my heart today, you know what? Donate, and I promise you, I'll pray as hard as I can and get the word of the Lord out to you on MP3. But also, consider taking the School of the Prophetic Word, folks. I mean, we sell this course all day long. School of the Prophetic Word is one that will really cause you to understand on so many different levels of what prophecy means. And people's prophetic words come to pass quicker. I mean, so much quicker when they go through our course, because I give them points and ideas and different angles to look at things to understand a little bit more of how God functions when he prophesies. And God told me, a long time ago, God said, my prophetic words will happen quicker when you get out of ignorance, when you get out of a lack of knowledge and be adjusted and aligned to where you need to be. My word will happen quicker for you. And think about it. That's how Mary and Joseph did when they took Jesus. Man, God led them to Egypt. God took them here. God took them there in those 9-month periods that she was pregnant until she aligned to the right place, the right time in Bethlehem. And guess what happened? The prophecy was fulfilled. Just how it needed to be, because she was aligned where she needs to be. When you align to where you need to be, God's word happens and accelerates so much quicker. And I can teach you how to have that mentality and how to get there. All right? So it's called School of the Prophetic Word. You can find that, or you can request a prophetic word from our ministry, which is identitynetwork.net. If you want to call the office to give your love offering for a prophetic word, or to even go through one of our courses, especially the School of the Prophetic Word, please feel free to do that. Our number at the office is 205-362-7133. That's 205-362-7133. All right, God bless you. Thank you so much for listening to the broadcast. And until next time, folks, keep on tuning in to the voice of God.